Praise the name of the Lord. He's worthy
to be praised. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. The title to my sermon today is Continuous Praise. Okay? You know, like Mike was saying, tomorrow we're starting into a new year. And you know, we used to sing a song years ago, "It is a new thing that I do, and I will show it unto you. Fear not, for you shall understand, I'll take you by the hand." And you know, really, that's the way the Lord is. You know, nothing's new to Him, but it's new to us. And His mercies are new every day in our life. And His presence is new every day in our life, you know. And I just thank God that if we'll just learn to praise Him in all situations and circumstances, we're going to find that this life is going to get a whole lot easier than what it's been. You know, in so many instances, we have a tendency that we find ourselves grumbling and complaining or whatever. And if we'll learn the secret of praise, we'll find out that life will just get much, much easier. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to have your way here today. I ask you that as I share this word that I've got here, Father, that you would just minister to hearts in this assembly and whoever would hear it out over the internet or whatever. And I just thank you because these are truly some of the secrets of if we'll but trust you, Father. There's nothing can touch our lives unless you allow it to touch us. I give you all praise. I give you all glory. I give you all honor. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Praise God. Psalm 95, 1 through 11 says this. But I'm not going to read it 1 through 11 now. I'm just going to read you just one. I'll read you the rest of them later. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And you know, He is the rock. And when you're standing upon the rock or you're seated upon the rock, whichever situation you happen to be in, there's nothing can move you off that rock. And you know, He's that rock in a weary land. He's that rock that all other foundations can be shaken, but that foundation can never be shaken. It's an eternal foundation. Ephesians 5:19 says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And you say, well, Oscar, why are you talking about praise? Because I'm going to tell you, if you'll start off this new year that we're getting ready to enter into by beginning to praise Him in all situations, in all circumstances, and let the fruit of your lips be His praise, you'll find out that life is going to change for you, and it's going to change in a most drastic way, and it's going to get a whole lot better. In Colossians 3:16, it says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. Psalms is songs. And hymns. Hymns is singing too. And spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And I'm telling you what, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me a song every day. You know, when I first got saved, I probably drove people crazy because I whistled or sang all the time, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on, let me stand. You know, because I was tired, I was weak, and I was cold, I felt like at times. Through the long, lonely night, take my hand. And you know, I felt like He did that. He led me through some dark times because I went through a real dark place when I first got saved. I mean, I went through a very, very dark place right before I gave my life to the Lord. I didn't care if I lived or died. That's how bad I got for a while. And you know what? It was all because I'd been running from Him. And you know, it's the old saying, you can run, but you can't hide. Because He's right there with you all the time, no matter where you go or what you do. And I tell you what, you might as well learn, if you'll learn to praise Him in all situations, you'll find out you don't praise Him for the situation, but you praise Him in spite of the situation, no matter what it is. Psalms 35:9 says this. It says, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, and it shall rejoice in His salvation." Well, you know, I'm going to give you what I feel like the definition of soul is. It's your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. And it doesn't say my spirit, it says my soul. And when it's talking about your soul, that means you have to make up your mind to do this thing. That you have to make up your mind to be joyful. You know, it's funny, you know, I've seen it many times, but there's a dish detergent called Joy, you know, and most of you have probably used it at one time or another. And, you know, and it comes in a bottle about yay big usually, and it's a squeeze bottle a lot of times. And, you know, when you get ready to go do the dishes, you don't squeeze a bunch of that in there, because if you do, you're going to have suds all over the counter and all over the floor and everything else. You just drop a few little drops in there and let the water run on it. And all of a sudden, it makes all of these nice suds. And then when you put them old nasty dishes in there, especially them really greasy ones, all of a sudden that grease starts getting cut, and them dishes come out of there, and buddy, they're sparkling clean. And you know what? Scripture says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And a lot of times, if we feel like we don't have strength in a situation, we have to begin to determine in our heart that we're going to tap into the joy of the Lord. You know, the Lord gave me a poem years ago, and it goes like this. "I've placed my gladness within your heart. I've placed my gladness to give you a new start, to bring you to a greater knowledge of me, to fill you with my spirit, and to set you free. When trials would come on every side, my gladness will remain, and my joy will abide. And if you'll but praise me, my joy will reign." And and you know what? We have to begin to praise Him. And I'm going to tell you, if you praise Him and the joy begins to reign in your heart, when that joy starts to reign, it overcomes all of the sadness, all of the heartaches and everything else. But I just want you to know, you know, we must purpose to do this. We have to make up our mind we're going to do it. You know, when He's saying, you know, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in His salvation." There's no other salvation given amongst men whereby we can be saved other than the salvation of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, if we'll begin to rise up with a joyful, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and that joyful noise, you know, we used to go down to the City Gospel Mission years ago a lot of times, and there was times when we had singers with us. We had some pretty good singers in our church in years past, and we do still today, but we had some really, really talented singers. And sometimes they didn't go. And when they didn't go, a few of us would get up there and kind of croak around, you know, trying to sing. And you know what? We'd tell them, the Scripture says, make a joyful noise. Not a beautiful song, but a joyful noise. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't care how good you sing or how bad you sing. But like I say, when I first got saved, I'd go around singing that song or humming it or whistling it. I couldn't whistle. I used to not be able to whistle. After I got saved, all of a sudden, the Lord made it where I could whistle. And I'd whistle that song all day long while I was working in a machine shop with all the noise and all the smoke and all the other stuff that went on. But I'd whistle that song all day long. If I wasn't whistling it, I was singing it or something else. And I'm going to tell you what, the Lord got me through some really tough times back then. You know, I told you all a story one time about before I got saved, my brother and I used to drag race, you know. And we built this car, and we built it just strictly just to drag race it. That's all it was for. And when we went to build this car, we built our own engines and stuff and put our own engines together and all that. And You use dowel indicators, which so you can check deck heights and all that kind of stuff. And I wasn't a Christian at the time, and I took a dowel indicator home from the machine shop that I worked at. And, you know, I was first just going to use it and then take it back. But after I had it for a while, I thought, well, you know, they don't pay me enough money, and they don't this, and they don't that, and I'm just going to keep this, you know. So it had serial numbers on it, so I ground the serial numbers off. And I guess it was probably right after I got saved. It couldn't have been more than a couple of weeks after I got saved. A boss came around, and he says, we're checking on the tools that people have. And he says, how many indicators do you have, Oscar? And I told him, you know, I still had some there at the shop. I had a couple of them at the shop. And he says, is that all you got? And I said, yeah. And he went around and asked everybody else, and he was checking it all off. He hadn't walked 5 feet away from me, and the Lord said, that isn't all you got. And we weren't drag racing then. It had been about a year or so. We had quit drag racing. And I didn't even think about even having that indicator, you know. But guess what? The Lord thought about it, and he told me about it. He said, no, you've got another one. And I stood there and I thought, oh, no, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I come home and I told Margaret about it. And I said, you know, I says, I'm going to have to take that back in there and tell him. And she says, oh, don't do that. You know, you get fired. I said, well, I said, I feel like the Lord wants me to do that. I said, I have to do that. And she says, well, you know, you might get fired. And I was the only one working, you know, at that time. She was staying home with the kids and stuff. And so the next day I was in there, and I called the foreman over, and I said, Ed, I said, the other day when you asked me about the how many indicators I had, and I said, and I told you, I said, that wasn't really true. I said, I have one more. And I said, and I brought it back. I said, but I stole this. And he said, you didn't steal it, Oscar. You just borrowed it. I said, no, Ed, I stole it. He said, no, you didn't steal that, Oscar. You just borrowed it. I said, no, Ed, I stole it. He says, I should have shut up. I kept saying it. He said, Oscar, he said, if everybody here was to tell about everything they've took out of here over the years, he said, we'd all get fired. He said, and, you know, but the Lord even gave me favor with him, you know, with my boss. I mean, here I had to tell him I'd stole something. Because the Lord was dealing with me very strongly about that. But he said, no, you didn't steal that. You didn't steal that. And I said, okay. I said, I'm trying to serve the Lord now. And I said, and the minute that you walked away, he brought that indicator back to my mind. Because we had quit racing about a year before that, see. And I'd had that thing for two or three years, you know. And here I had to give it back to him. I took it and give it back to him. But, you know, that's the thing about the Lord, is if when you do what the Lord tells you to do, you're not going to go wrong. You know, it's the right thing. And, you know, and a lot of times when you work for people, you know, when I got ready to leave Drillhead, when I worked down there, when I went in with my brother, I had all these taps and drills and a whole bunch of stuff that the company had given me, and I was a boss down there. So I went to my supervisor, and I said, Jimmy, I said, I've got, you know, drills and taps and all this stuff. He said, Oscar, we don't want that stuff. He said, we got new stuff in the thing. He said, we don't want them old drills and them old taps and stuff. He said, just keep them. I said, Jimmy, are you sure? I said, I don't really want to take these out of here. He said, Oscar, just keep them. He said, we don't need them. He said, we just replace that stuff all the time with new stuff. And I said, well, if you're sure it's okay, I'll keep them. And then I kept my brother supplied for a long time in drills and taps when I went in with him. But, you know, God deals with you about stuff like that. And, you know, Psalm 66, 1 and 2 says this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name and make his praise glorious. And I'm going to tell you what, the way you make his praise glorious is by doing it in all situations and all circumstances. You know, there's times when you don't feel like praising the Lord. There's times when you're upset. But if you'll praise him, and I'm saying this, I'm preaching to me about this too, because don't think I do everything that I tell you, because I the Lord deals with me at the same time he's dealing with you. But we have to come to a place where we praise him in all situations and all circumstances. Psalm 89, 15 and 16 says this: Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. What joyful sound is he talking about? I'm going to tell you what. I've heard people a lot of times with little kids, they'll have them get up sometimes and sing, you know, or whatever. And some of them can't carry a tune in a bucket. But mom and dad say, oh, ain't that so precious? Don't they sound so good? And you know, that's the way the Lord is. When we're praising him, he inhabits those praises. He loves it. Even if you can't sing a note and you're singing praises to the Lord, to him, that's beautiful music. Anyway, it says, Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. You want to walk in the light of his countenance? You want to walk in the light where he begins to just radiate from you? Make that joyful noise. Make it in all situations. Scripture says he inhabits the praises of his saints. In thy name shall they rejoice all day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Praise God. In thy name shall they rejoice all day. How long is all day? That's all day. That's saying continuously. That's saying don't stop. That's saying if you find yourself getting down or getting depressed or anything else, praise him. Praise him. Praise him anyway. Praise God. 1 Peter 2:9 says this. It says, But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Show forth the praises. You know, when he says you're a chosen generation, chosen means you've been selected. It means you're favored. You know, when God looks at you, you know what he sees? He says, you're my favorite. That's what he sees. When he looks at another brother or sister, you know what he says to them? You're my favorite. And I tell you what, I always kid Jennifer about this, and I tell kid Lauren about it too. I always tell Jennifer, I said, you're my favorite daughter. She says, well, Dad, you only got one daughter. I said, well, that's all right. You're still my favorite daughter. And I tell Lauren that too. I said, you're my favorite granddaughter. And she says, okay, Grandpa. She says, you don't have no more granddaughters. I said, yeah, but you're the favorite one, you know. And that's the way God is. You're his favorite. You're chosen. You know, you've been chosen. Praise God. And it says you're a royal priesthood. And that word for royal there means kingly. You're a kingly priesthood. He's called you to be kings and priests unto God. And you know what? You know what authority a king has? He has a lot of authority. Whatever he says can come to pass. And I'm going to tell you what, we walk so below the authority God has given us. Sometimes we give in to something. You know, we were talking about last week, there were some things said about the devil back in Sunday school last week. And I made a statement, and I don't know if people received it that much or not, but I said, you know what, the only power that Satan has is how much you give him. It's your power. If you give it over to him, then he'll take it. That satanic force, that prince of the power of air, that works in the children of disobedience. one of the guys says, I like that story you tell about the devil sitting on the curb. I said, somebody said that in Sunday school, and I said, yeah. I said, the story goes that the devil's sitting on the curb, and he's crying. And somebody walks up to him and says, "Hey, why are you crying?" He says, "Because I didn't get to do all the things I get blamed for." And Christian people are bad for that. They tend to want to blame the devil for everything. I tell you what, acknowledge God in all situations and you won't have to worry about the devil. He has no power over you, no authority over you. When Jesus ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men, and he gave you as gifts unto other men. Praise God. And it says you're a royal priesthood. The priesthood is a priestly fraternity, the condition of brotherhood. You will do things for your brother that you would not do for anyone else. And you know that priesthood is after the order of Melchizedek. And you know, in the Old Testament, Melchizedek, all that it says about him was after the Battle of the Kings, he came forth with bread and wine. And remember last week we did communion, and you know, we know that the wine is a type of the blood of the life of Christ, and the bread is a type of him, his body. It's broken for us. And you know, Melchizedek brought forth bread and wine. And he blessed Abraham. And we've been raised into the order of Melchizedek, if we'll just receive it. And we're supposed to bless and curse not. In Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 14, it says, bless and curse not. And you say, well, that's only part of that scripture, Oscar. It is. The other part of it, this first part of it, is them that persecute you. You mean I got to bless the people that persecute me? That's what the scripture says. Bless them and curse them not. Boy, that can make you have to be doing a lot of blessing, because a lot of people give you a hard time. And I tell you what, we need to say, Lord, bless them. Now, I don't mean we need to say like they say down south when they say bless your heart. Because I don't think that always means bless your heart. Sometimes when they say that down south, I mean that sometimes I think there's a negative connotation when they say that. But you know, we need to say it in a positive way. Bless your heart. Hebrews 7:1 says this. It says, For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and he blessed them. Hebrews 7:2-3 says this, to whom God also, Abraham, gave a tenth part of all of his first being by interpretation, king of righteousness, and afterwards king of Salem, which is king of peace. A lot of people think that tithing is of the law. Well, this was before the law was ever even instituted. He gave tithes to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was a type of Jesus Christ, because it tells us up in Hebrews that he was a high priest after the order or rank of Melchizedek. And it says about Melchizedek, he says he was without father, without mother, without descendant, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, was made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continuously. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says this, and we did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. And Moses was told to speak to the rock. And this was in Numbers chapter 20. Moses was told to speak to the rock. And instead of speaking to the rock, because he got a little angry, he struck the rock twice. And the rock that was following them about in different places, that God caused water to come out of the rock, so that whole millions of people were given water to drink. It says it was Jesus Christ. And we know that we've been born again of the incorruptible seed of God, and that we're being changed by the washing of the water of the Word. The Word of God is what was talking about in water. And, you know, in Numbers, in Exodus 17:6, now this is before Numbers, Moses was told to strike the rock. Well, we know that Jesus Christ was stricken, it says, and he was accounted stricken of his Father. And in other words, he went to the cross for you and for me. And he bled for us on Calvary that we might be set free. And he cleansed us from all sin. And he not only did it for you and me, but he did it for the whole world. And in that's Exodus 17:6, really, where he was told to smite the rock at Horeb, to strike it. Well, then in Numbers, God told him to speak to the rock. Well, in typology, as Jesus being the rock that followed him, he had already been smitten, and he'd pour forth the water of life. And then here, up in Numbers chapter 20, God said, just speak to the rock now. And you know what? All we have to do is speak to Jesus Christ. He's the rock of ages. He's the rock that if we sit or stand on him, no one can shake us, no matter what. And instead of speaking to the rock, Moses smote it. He hit it with his staff twice. And it said water gushed out. And Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land in the natural because he had been disobedient to what God told him to do. But we know that when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, we know what happened there. And we know that Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus. He got to go into the heavenly promised land. But he didn't let him go into the natural because you know what? The law can never get you into the presence of God. It has to be through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Praise God. In Ephesians 2:20 through 22 says this, and you are built upon a foundation of apostles, prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also were built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. He inhabits the praises of our saints, of our praised saints. And if you'll just praise him, he'll inhabit you more and more and more all the time. You'll be aware of his presence. You'll see miraculous things even begin to happen around you, through you, and to you. Praise God. 1 Peter 2:4-6 says this. I'm almost finished. I'm not going to speak to you real long. It says, to whom cometh as unto living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. You also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Therefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Sidon a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him should not be confounded. That first scripture I read you back there, we're going to jump into it. It says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great, as a great God, and the King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and the hands formed it, formed a dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down, for as we kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are his people of his pasture, and sheep of his hand. To this day will you hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart. They have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. This was before Jesus came. But I tell you what, after he came, Scripture says he led captivity captive. So they got a chance to enter into that rest after he came. But I tell you what, they had to go through a lot of things before that happened. Got one more poem to share with you, and I've shared this before, but and you might remember it and you might not. But this one says, "Can I or will I?" And this is talking about praise. Can I praise him when I'm happy, or will I praise him when I'm sad? Can I praise him when things are going my way, or when things are looking bad? Can I praise him for the little child who's quiet and sleeping still? Or will I praise him when that child is growing and about to break my will? Can I praise him in the finances when there's no place to go? Can I praise him when the things at work are really going fine? Or will I praise him when it's a hectic mess and I'm about to lose my mind? Can I praise him in the sunshine, or will I praise him in the rain? Can I praise him when I'm in perfect health, or when my body is racked with pain? The can seems mighty easy, but the will we must purpose to do. For only if we will but praise him, then his presence will refresh and renew. And I'm telling you what, folks, I know we've heard a lot of sermons over the years about praise, but you can't hear enough of them. Can't hear enough of them. Because it's essential, it's very important that you praise the Lord. And I tell you, things will turn around when you start praising him. Because his presence increases, because he inhabits the praises of his saints. If you all stand, I'll close in a word of prayer. And God bless you all. And you know, tomorrow we start into a new year. Let's start out with the attitude of that, Father, we're going to praise you in all things. We're not going to grumble and complain as much, which we all do that at times. We're not going to get mad when somebody cuts us off in the car, or we're not going to get mad when a relative says something to us that we don't like, but we're going to praise you right in the middle of every situation. You know, I had a relative call me the other day and wanted some counseling, and when they called me for counseling, they told me their situation, and they had said, I know you'll be brutally honest. I said, well, I said, I'll tell you, if you ask me what I to counsel with you, I'll tell you. And in this situation, I told the person, I said, what you said was okay. It's just when you said it. You know, they said something when this other person that they were talking to had a other family member there, and I know it embarrassed that person really bad. So it's caused a split in that family because of that. And sometimes, before we speak, we need to pray and ask God, if somebody said this to me, what I'm about to say to this other person, how would I react? And you know what? A lot of times you'll say, uh-oh, maybe I shouldn't say that at all. Because so many times we find ourselves saying stuff, and we might not mean it in a bad way, but it comes across in a bad way to that other person. And sometimes it's better to wait until you know that the Lord's told you now's the time. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless your people. I ask you, Father, that as we enter into this new year, I ask you to just begin to just pour out your blessings upon them. Father, we want to bless them in the name of the Lord. We want to just praise you for everything that you're doing in their lives, whether it seems to be good or seems to be bad. We're not going to judge the good and the bad, because, Father, you told us that we're not to eat of that tree. We're going to bless them in the name of the Lord. We're going to believe that you do all things according to your will, and you work all things after the counsel of your own will. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. And we ask you to just cause your people, just give them a spirit of joy. That's that poem you gave me, that you've placed the gladness within our heart to give us a new start. And that gladness will cause the joy of the Lord to spring up and bubble up. And Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to bless your people. And I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. Amen, amen, and amen. And you all have a wonderful day. If anybody wants prayer, I'll be glad to pray with you.